Well, good morning, Grace Community Church. Welcome to our Sunday morning service, the fifth already. Where's time going? I don't know about you, but I find that it's going really, really fast. It's not dragging at all. Well, welcome, as I say, to our Sunday morning service. Let's pray as we normally do. I would like to read this portion of scripture over us as a church, Ephesians 3, starting at verse 16. Just listen to these words and just digest these words as we pray before the Lord now. Father, I thank you. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and how deep the love of Christ is, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Amen. Amen. We are, as you may be aware or may not be aware, we're part of a bigger group of churches, MFG. And what we like to say is, why walk alone when we can walk together? And we're connected with churches in the UK and around the world. And Colin has asked us if this Sunday we would collectively pray as a group of churches for a visitation of the Lord at this time, that he may strengthen and encourage us, and strengthen and encourage and provide for those that are really struggling at this time, not just mentally or emotionally or physically, but spiritually and financially. So I'm going to pray a short prayer, then I would ask you to join with us after the service in your own time and continue to lift up this world of ours to the Lord and pray that he has mercy. So we do pray, Father, for your favour. We do pray, Father God, for your grace, your goodness. We do pray, Father God, that you would pour in and pour out. We pray for a visitation, Lord, of the Holy Spirit at this time, that you may seek and save the lost, that, Father, you may provide for those that grieve. You may, Father God, strengthen and encourage us at this time. We pray for those around the world, Lord, who are struggling to find food and shelter, those that are fearful. We pray, Father, that you would come, you would give visions and you would give dreams. We ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. I'm just going to set my timer, so bear with me. And we will proceed with today's message. We've been looking in Acts 27, and I want to continue as normal, whatever normal is, as possible, and continue that theme, because I believe it was a timely message. It is a timely message because it's God's word. And the title of these messages are Anchors in the Storms of Life. And I want to read two or three portions of scripture out today. And there may be a lot of scripture here, but it's good to read together. It's good to read out loud. It's good to know what God's word says. It's not enough just to hear my voice, but it's to hear his voice. So church, you've heard these scriptures read over the last 12 weeks or so, and we're going to hear them again today. And I just want to read from Acts 27, starting at verse 13. Now, this is a portion of scripture which illustrates Paul's journey. He has to go and face Caesar. He's been accused of inciting all kinds of things, and he calls God Christ his Saviour and Lord and not Caesar. So he has to go before and answer, and he's on this journey. And we pick it up in verse 13, where it says, "As a gentle south wind began to blow, and they saw their opportunity to sail." Now, Paul had already warned the officials not to set sail. But it says, going up in verse 12, "Since the harbour was unsuitable to winter in," that's the harbour where they were at that time, "the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there." There's always an opportunity for the majority to rule. But for me and you, the majority in our life is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What does God say? What does he say at this time? And Paul is somebody who follows the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And we pick it up, as I said, in verse 13. And it says, "The gentle south wind began to blow. They saw their opportunity, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island." Just a verse up there, we've talking about a gentle wind, and then there was a suddenly. Last year, we looked at that whole thought process of what happens in the suddenlies of life. And this is another suddenly, isn't it? There was a gentle wind. Everything seemed to be okay. If we liken it to what's happening today, 3 or 4 weeks ago, everybody was just getting on with their lives. And then suddenly there was a hurricane and it swept not just through the United Kingdom, but around the world. But we're talking about anchors in the storms of life. So this storm started to brew, and the storm was so strong and so fierce that they could not head into the wind. So they gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. The wind and the waves were crashing around their boat. So the men hoisted the lifeboat on board ship. Then they passed ropes under the ship to hold it together. They were afraid. In a storm, it's easy to be afraid, isn't it? One of the things that we've said in Grace Church is this, and the Bible talks about it. There are anchors in the storms of life, and the Word of God is an anchor. Hope is an anchor. Prayer is an anchor. God's Word is an anchor. And we're talking about love these last 2 or 3 weeks, and love is an anchor. God's love for us, our love for Him, our love for one another, it's an anchor. It will keep us secure in the storms of life. They were afraid, and there's times where we're in these storms and we too can be afraid. But the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. The Bible says that God is love. Where there is love, there can be no fear. So when we grab hold of the love of God for us, when we grab hold of His plans and purposes for us, church, then He enables us to not be fearful, but to be faithful. When we're full of faith, then there's no room for fear. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we've been saying to the church over the last 13 years, joy is not happiness. Happiness is the external. It's what goes on out there. How much is in our bank account. But joy is something that God gives us that comes from the inside and manifests itself. And it comes out of our mouths in praise and thanksgiving. So I want to use these scriptures as a backdrop, just looking at anchors in the storms of life. They were fearful, they were afraid. They lowered the mast and they let the ship be driven along. But it says in verse 18, we took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day we began to throw the cargo overboard, and they started to lighten their load. They took the ship's tackle and they threw it overboard with their own hands. Neither sun nor stars appeared for many days. The storm continued raging. We finally gave up all hope. And when we look in at the world around us, and sometimes when we look into our own lives, it's easy to understand that we can give up hope. But we have a hope, an eternal hope, that we know that Jesus Christ is coming back. We don't hope for something that we've already got. We know, as Scripture tells us, that trial and tribulation produces character. Character produces hope, and hope won't disappoint. Hope is an anchor for our souls. So we can't give up hope. We need to hang on to hope. Hope is an anchor in our lives that will keep us safe and secure. God's Word is active and alive and sharper than a two-edged sword. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves damage and loss." Do you know what? When we eat of God's Word, when we feed on His food, we too won't have to suffer loss. When we become obedient to what God says, when we are not just hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word, we won't suffer loss. So there's a word for us in season here. To be of good cheer, to be encouraged, to not give up hope, and to feed on His Word. He says this in 22, "But now I urge you to keep up your courage." We are not given a spirit of timidity, the Bible says, but a spirit of power, a sound mind. "Because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, do not be afraid. What does God prompt? What does God's word say about you and me? What's his promises? He's already spoken to us, hasn't he? He doesn't have to physically stand beside us. He lives within us. What has he promised us? We too, and I too say to you, church, and we should say to our neighbours through prayer and in person, do not be afraid. Paul understood he had to stand trial before Caesar. So he knew that his time hadn't yet come. But in 25 it says this, so keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. I don't know where you are at this moment in time with your journey of faith, but I have faith. I have faith that God will do what he said he will do. The time is not yet. Your time is not yet. His promises are to never leave us or forsake us. Every weapon forged against us will not prosper. Every evil word that the enemy throws at us will not stick. We're covered by his blood. I have faith in God that it will happen just as he said it would. Have you got faith? If you've got faith as small as a mustard seed, the Bible says that small amount of faith can do great things. Put it to work. Start to pray that faith. And pray it will germinate and grow and get bigger and bigger. Start with the small things. Lord, I thank you. I believe you. I have faith, Lord, that you are with me. I have faith, Lord, that you have an eternal rest in place for me. I have faith, Lord, that you will protect me by your blood and enable me through your grace. You'll forgive me when I confess my sins. Thank you, Father God, that I belong to you. Anchors in the storms of life. It continues on his journey, but in verse 29, I want to just bring this final portion in Acts. It says, fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. And that's where I'm taking this series of anchors in the storms of life from. They put four anchors down. There are many more anchors in our lives when we look through scripture. It's something that we can depend upon. There's a foundation, and the Bible says no one can lay any foundation other than the one that is already laid. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. So for me and you, as we walk forward, we put our anchors down, but we don't put our anchors into a seabed. We don't put our anchors into the sand. We put our anchors on the rock. Jesus Christ is that solid rock. And as I said before, we've looked at anchors in the storms of life, and we've looked at hope being an anchor, God's word being an anchor, prayer being an anchor, and love being an anchor. And that's something that I want to look at today. Do you know what? I've only just turned my recorder on, so I hope this video works. I knew I should have had Nigel here prompting me. So we're halfway through the message already, and I haven't even turned the recorder on. We have been looking at agape love being an anchor. That's God's unconditional love. We have unconditional love in certain circumstances, but God has an unconditional love for me and you. Even yet we were still sinners, he came to save us. No matter what you do or don't do, he can't love you any more or love you any less. It's an anchor. It's an anchor for you. You can be rooted in that word, God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will have life, and life in all its fullness. I'm just checking on time. Filial love, it's a brotherly love we looked at last week, and today I just want to look at storge love. It's a family love. It's a love for a father and a mother for her children, and children for their father and children for their mother. And I just want to look at one story that I think typifies this. And rather than read it all out, I'll just speak it out. It's God's word. Check it out. I'm reading from Luke 15, starting at verse 11. It's talking about, it says this. Jesus continued. This is Jesus speaking this parable out. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. He wanted everything that he was entitled to. Everything that his father had worked hard for. He didn't want to wait for his father to die to inherit. He wanted it now. And the Bible tells us that he was given that inheritance. He was given that money, that finance. And this younger son went off and did his own thing. And there's times that me and you, we will do our own thing. Maybe you know someone in your family, a child or a parent or a loved one. Someone that you once knew and they wanted what they wanted and they took it and they just went off to a foreign land and squandered what the father had worked for. And this is an illustration of God's love. The father is an illustration of Father God, and the son is an illustration of me and you who wander off and we do our own thing. And it says he went into a far country and he started to squander his money. He started to waste it on loose living. Anything he could do to get rid of this money, he did. And eventually he wasted it and he lost it. And he ended up with nothing and nobody. All his friends had gone, all his provisions had gone, and all he could do was hope that he could hire himself out to a farmer. And the farmer would hire him and he would feed the pigs in the pig pen. And he found himself in this pig pen, longing to eat what the pigs were given to eat. And there he started to remember how good he had it at home, how gracious his father was, how much food he used to get, how much honour he used to have, that he had a seat at the table in the father's house. And the Bible says this, it says, and coming to his senses, he stepped out of the pig pen and he started to go home. That's a picture of me and you when we wander from God. And the good news is this, God's love for us is unconditional. We should be a people that will anchor ourselves in his word, anchor ourselves in his love. And we will have an opportunity where we too, if we've wandered, can come back to the Father because of his storge love and his agape love and his filial love. But there will be opportunities for people in our lives to come back into our lives. And because of the love that God has for me and you, we can share that love with others. But love is an anchor for me and you in the storms of life. And during this time, this period, we will have opportunity to forgive, opportunities to embrace. But just to give you that picture of the Father's love for me and you, the Father's love for a child, a mother's love for a child, it says like a hen putting her wings around the chicks. God is a gracious God. And this young man, he stepped out of the pig pen and he started to walk towards home. And the father saw him from afar off and he hitched up his garments, had his sandals on, put the ring on. He said, kill the fattened calf. My son was dead and he's alive again. He ran towards his son, embraced him. And the son said this. It was quite incredible because the father always had love for the son. God always has love for me and you. It's always an anchor for our souls. It's an anchor for us in the storms of life. His love never changes. And the son understood that he'd broken the covenant. He understood that he needed to ask the father for forgiveness. I have sinned against you, God, and I've sinned against my father. And when we ask God to forgive us of our sins, he does. When we ask others to forgive us of their sins, we should also forgive them because God has forgiven us. And it says, then he put the ring on his finger. And there's more to this story than just putting a ring on his finger. There's more to this story than I have time to illustrate today. But he said, my son was dead, but he is alive again. It's a story of God's storge love, biblical storge love, filial love and agape love, all wrapped into one. It's an anchor for me and you. And that son was us until we stepped out of the pig pen and came back to the Father. The Father is the same. He stands there still today for those of us who maybe have wandered off, those of you who maybe are hiding from God, you can come back out of the closet as such, and you can step into God's presence. Those that we know, we can pray that they would come to their senses, because we know the anchor in the storms of life is God is the one constant. He stands there waiting and watching for his children to come home. So let's just finish in prayer as I just come to the end of this illustration by simply saying, love is an anchor in the storms of life. And God's love for you is unchanging. But the Father's love for his children, my love for my children, your love for your children, it doesn't change. And maybe they've upset you. Maybe they've been misunderstood. Maybe you've misunderstood them. Well, here's an opportunity for you to pray that they would come to their senses. For those of you that don't have children, you know someone who does, and you can pray for them. Lord, let the love that's an anchor in my life be an anchor in their life. Lord, bring them into your kingdom. Help them to step out of the pig pen, out of the world's ways, into your ways. Father God, come today. Pour out your goodness and your grace. And Father God, in these times of trouble and turbulence and storm that we seem to be walking in day by day, bring a peace that transcends all understanding. Father God, today, come. Come and be the one constant in our lives afresh. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Father God, bless us that we may be a blessing. Grace Community Church, I trust that you will be blessed so that you can be a blessing to your neighbours. You may be feeling today, but I can't go out and do anything. I'm isolated. You can pray. Prayer is an anchor. You can pray. You can speak God's word. Remember the centurion who says, I understand what it is to be a man of authority. I have many men under me. I know what it means. Just say the word, Lord, and it will be done. Well, we have that same power living within us. The Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So you can pray that word over your neighbours. Pray that word over your community, that God will bring men, women and children to their senses, that they will step out of the pig pen and repent and come back to the Father, because the love of God is an anchor in the storms of life. Church, be blessed and be a blessing.